Oh.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, you see me?
Hi, you're my only customer so far.
Okay, well, I'm going to pick my dishes up so I don't...
All right.
Just to work with while you get the others.
All right, sweetie. Okay. Oh, dear. Hi. Oh, it's you. Hi. Who's that? Oh, nobody. Jody. I'm calling Jody. Jody says she looks like she's here. I wonder why it's not picking up. It's driving me bonkers. Let's call her again. Hi, Jody. Okay. All right.
Any luck?
No, not with anybody.
Oh,
I think Jody's going to be there because she's come online.
Well, you know, it was a holiday yesterday in America.
Oh, really?
It was July 4th.
Oh, okay.
It was a major holiday.
Oh,
you know what July, right?
1 minute, sure.
We got our freedom from the British.
Oh, I see. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Magia.
But I don't want to be free from you, so.
Hello. Okay. Oh, here comes Mia. Okay, 1 second. All right, let me just add Mia in. Add group call. 1 second. Add group call. Mia. There's Mia. Mia should answer all right. Mia's very good on spot. Hi, Mia, my love.
Hello.
Hello, sweetie. How are you?
Great.
That's good. We're sweltering here. It's an absolute heat wave in Israel. I'm trying to contact Jody because Jody's come online, but it's not answering for some peculiar reason. Very odd. Maybe she just went to pick something up or get a glass of water or something. Now... I can't find anybody else. Where's Tina and Lisa and everybody?
So are Jody and I the only ones in the U.S.?
You're the only two in the U.S., yes, that's right.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we had the 4th of July yesterday, so I barely remember. Because it seemed like a holiday,
you know, said, yeah.
Seemed like a weekend, so this seems like Monday.
yeah. But actually, okay. If it's the people in Israel who are not answering, then it might be because they're all leveled by the heat. 1 second. Yeah, it's terribly hot. It's a heat wave. Let me just send this SMS out. Okay. I can't see my. Oh well, never mind. Wait a minute. F short. How safe? Let's add more people in. Lisa. Yeah, okay, that one. F short. Right. Yes. And let's add in Elena. Right, okay, I've sent out a text message. What do we do now? More than that, I can't. I sent out an SMS and I sent out a text message.
Because you can.
A text message and an email.
Okay.
Okay. All right, more than that, I really can't do. What do I do with Jodie? Jodie looks like she's online, but it didn't go through at all. That's odd. Jodie always picks up. Let's try that again. All right, in the meantime, I'm going to get the prayer up. Tfula. Great. All right. So, where are we? Oh.
Good morning, Yudita.
Oh, right, Jody, finally got you. Terrific.
You know what? I forgot it was Wednesday with the holiday, and I'm just pulling into.
That's what I told her.
Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, Yudita's on the phone. It just threw me. Yeah, but I'm just walking into my office. I'm just walking into my office downtown. That's how disoriented I was.
Oh my gosh! So
yeah,
so you're not going to get us online.
I'm not going to. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to get online.
Okay, don't worry. I'll record it I've managed to fix the website, so I'll be able to upload all the back recordings.
Okay, I apologize.
Don't worry.
I just was confused on the day. You too, Mia. Right?
Mia said that it's very likely.
Yeah, it's been a very strange weekend with the holiday on Tuesday. All right.
Okay, not to worry.
Okay, well, stay warm, stay cool, and drink lots of water.
Yeah. Warm I am. It's like I need to be
warm.
Cool.
You have to be. Cool down, lady. Cool down.
All right, my sweetie.
Okay. Okay. Have a great week.
Thanks, my love. Bye-bye. And you. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, there you go. Jodie was on the way to work. What can you do?
Well, it's not the first time, it's just been you and me.
Amy's here as well, so it's not just you and me, so we're okay. So, all right, so we're going to be able to learn today.
Who else is here?
Amy.
Oh, Amy. Awesome.
Yeah,
okay.
Amy's from Florida, in fact, but she's in Israel for a year. So when she goes back to Florida, then we'll be, you know, she'll be back on the American side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So if it's only you and Mia, I'll read this in English. Master of the universe and Lord of lords, Father of mercy and forgiveness, we give thanks to you, O Lord our God and God of our fathers, by bowing the head and prostrating ourselves, that you brought us close to your Torah and to your service, the holiest of services. And you've given to us a portion in the inner meanings of your holy Torah. What are we and what is our life that you've dealt with us such a great loving kindness as this? Therefore, we lay our supplication before you that you pardon and forgive all our sins and iniquities, and do not let our iniquities separate us from you. And may it be your will, O Lord our God and God of our fathers, that you prepare our hearts to have awe of you and love of you. And may your ears listen to these our words. And please open our uncircumcised heart to the inner meanings of your Torah. And may our learning give pleasure before the throne of your glory as a sweet-smelling fragrance. And may you bestow upon us the light of the source of our soul in all its aspects. And may the sparks of your holy servants shine through him through whom you revealed these your words into the world. And may their merit and the merit of their fathers and the merit of their Torah, their wholeness and their holiness stand by us that we do not stumble in these words. And through their merit, enlighten our eyes in what we are learning. As the sweet singer of Israel said, open my eyes and I will look on the wonders of your Torah. For the Lord will give wisdom from his mouth, knowledge and understanding. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be forever acceptable before you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Right. What am I meant to do with the others? I don't think I can do anything at all. Right. I have sent off the SMSs. I've done the emails. More than that, I can't do. Right, so let's just begin. I can just type, Yaya's online. I can type a message to Yaya. Yaya is Dina's husband. Hi, is Dina joining us today? Now, do that. Go right. That's it. All right then. Okay, so we're carrying on with the article on hope. I'm just going to check that this thing is actually recording. Yes, it is. Okay, good. We're going to carry on with the article on hope from the Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto. It's a very powerful article. I really found a lot of power in it last week. An amazing shiur. Okay, Lena's not joining us. Jody's not joining us online. Okay, I'll try Dina one more time. Okay, and it goes like this. Hadashaim amdua petach hakarka. V'lo yatsu ad shitpalel alehem adam arishon. הלבנה מקבלת מן השמש, אמת מארץ תצמח וצדק משמיים נשקף, שהשפע נשקף מלמעלה וממתין לתקווה שתצמח מלמטה מן הארץ. And I'm going to translate that. Okay. Oh, Dina, are you there? It looks like Dina's here. Amazing. That's great. Okay. Dina, I can't hear you. Oh, try again. It looks like she's there. That's nice. I'm going to translate. And it goes like this. The grass stood at the entrance of the ground, but it didn't come forth until the first man had prayed over it. There's Lisa. Okay. All right. The grass stood at the entrance of the ground and it didn't come forth until the first man had prayed over it. Now, if you remember, in the beginning of the Bible, in the beginning of Genesis, you've actually got a Bereshit, in a way, the story of the creation twice. I haven't got my Tanakh. Yes, I have. I have it right here. In chapter 1... you've got, it says, for example, and God said, let the earth, and God said on the third day, God said, let the grass bring forth grass, herbs forming seed, fruit trees which make fruit of their own kind, which has its seed on it on the ground, and it was so. So that's on the third day of creation, and that's in the first chapter of Genesis. Okay. And on the second chapter of Genesis, we have, it says in verse 5, and none of the bushes of the field were in the ground. and all the herbs of the field had not yet sprung forth. For God, the Lord God, had not yet caused the rain to land on the ground, and there was no man to work the ground. Okay? Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
I'm glad you're here.
Me too. Sorry I'm late.
All right. So we're just looking at in the Ramchal, we're carrying on with the Ramchal, and we're looking at bit where the paragraph which begins Hadashaim Amdul Petah HaKarka Velo Tzu Achid Palel Aleim Adam HaRishon. So what the Zohar, how does the Zohar reconcile the first chapter of Bereshis and the second chapter of Bereshis, where in the first chapter the grass is already created, but on the second chapter it says quite clearly it hadn't yet come forth, okay, because God had not yet let it rain, and man was not yet there to work the ground. And the Zohar reconciles these two chapters, these two accounts, by saying that the first chapter is like the potential. God creates the potential in the first chapter, but its manifestation was not until man was already present. Okay. And the Ramchal is looking at this idea, and he's saying, okay, so the grass were like only their potential. They were standing at that doorway, okay, of the ground. But they didn't come forth until first man was there who could pray over them. Okay? Like he prayed that there should be grass. Now this is a tremendous idea. That you know, we imagine that the whole of the Garden of Eden is ready there, and man is the last being to be created, and he wakes up in this fabulous garden, everything's already prepared for him, nothing to do, okay? We kind of like think about the creation as that. And now the Zohar is teaching us there's another aspect of creation, which is man as co-creator, all right? Where we see man as co-creator after the fall, after he already ate from the tree of knowledge, but he was also co-creator beforehand. And he was co-creator in that his presence was necessary. His presence was necessary to enable, to allow, to bring forth, to manifest. Okay? And what does the idea of praying mean? The idea of prayer is a very profound idea. Let's say that I lack something. I can either try to obtain it in some sort of way, which is not necessarily clear to me. You know, I might sort of like write a letter to the council, or I might go onto the internet, or I might send off for something or whatever. You know, I can do something like that, a physical action. Or I can complain about it, that I lack something. I can simply complain. But one of way that sages have taught us is that when we have a lack, is to turn to God and to ask him to fulfill the lack. And especially when we're talking about a spiritual lack, if I lack some aspect of myself and I'm not able to pray, I'm not able to do a mitzvah properly, I need to turn to God and ask for his help. Rabbi Nachman of Bratslav took this further, and he said even for everyday physical things, we need to pray to God and ask his help. Okay? And what is this actual, what is it doing? It's called, the action is called Mayan Nukrin. It's raising the lack upwards. Instead of me trying to fulfill the lack at my level, I'm giving the lack upwards. I'm giving the lack to God. I'm giving the lack to a higher level. And Mayan Nukrin is raising the lack upwards. Now, when we pray, we're actually giving God a gift, because what we're saying is we acknowledge him as the master of the universe. We acknowledge him as the source from which all good comes. We are affirming our reliance on him. Okay? And this is really, 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 really important. So this idea that man prayed over the grass and then the grass was manifest is just a example of how prayer acts to raise the lack upwards. And this is an action of faith, which is what we're talking about in this whole article. I just got a message. It's probably from Dina. Let me just check. Oh, it's from Elena. No. Okay, I know she's not coming. Right. All right. And it goes on. The moon receives from the sun. Now, the moon in the Kabbalah is the Shekhinah, the divine presence. It is the mother, if you like, or the source from which all the souls receive our goodness. Is the channel is through the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah is like the collective soul together. It's the Malchut. And the Malchut gives to the Tzaddikim, and the Tzaddikim give to all the souls. And the sun is the level above the Malchut, which is the level of the Zerampin. So we have Bina, which is the source of goodness from which it all comes. Then it comes down to Zerampin, then it comes down to the Malchut. So the Malchut receives from Zerampin. And she can receive from the Zerampin after man has done his work of raising the lack upwards. Okay? Because when we're talking about co-creation, we're not talking about co-creation just on this physical level. We're talking about the fact that man's actions actually affect the spiritual worlds above as well. When we ask God and we're giving faith in God and we're giving hope and we're putting our trust in God, and we're giving our mitzvahs to God, we're raising them up, okay? What that does is it actually unites the higher sefirot together, that the higher sefirot are able to unite together, and then the light can come back down into all the channels, and the flow can flow, all right? And so therefore, co-creation is not just co-creation on our level, it's co-creation by allowing the higher worlds also to realign and to fulfill their function in a fuller way, that they're able to unite and actually allow more, they themselves grow because of it. So man is such a key actor in this whole thing. Emet me eretz titzmach v'tzedek mishamayim nishkaf. So eretz here is the malchut, it's the souls, and that the truth will spring forth from below, from the souls below, and then the tzedek, which is the channel of goodness from heaven, comes forth from above. Nishkaf is like watching forth over. Because the Shefa, the bounty, comes forth from above, but it's waiting for the tikva, for the faith, which will spring up from the bottom, from the Malchut. Okay, questions. I hope I explained that well enough.
Did you put it in what the dictionary defines prayer?
I don't know what the dictionary defines prayer as.
it's a noun, which I would think that prayer would be a verb, but it's actually a noun. And
there's a prayer or to pray.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right. It says a devout petition to God or an object of worship, a spiritual communication with God, as in supplication, thanksgiving, adoration, or confession.
Okay. Well,
that's interesting. The confession is included in prayer.
Yeah, well, you would confess, and then you would ask God, I would assume. Confession and forgiveness, I think, are two sides of the same coin, aren't they?
Yeah, it certainly is in the Rosh Hashanah service, isn't it? That so much of the prayer, not Rosh Hashanah, but Yom Kippur, that confession is definitely part. And that's true. I mean, we have, you know, Slach Lanu in the Amida every day. And we have, Ashamnu Bagadnu in the Shema before you go to sleep. So, yeah, confession is certainly aspect. That's interesting. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Thank you, Amy. That's interesting. Certainly prayer seems to cover all those categories. It's really a communication from the lower one to the above one.
But you defined it now, from what I sort of caught.
Yeah.
As if God has given us a creative potential, he's made the world so that we can or cannot, we have free will, in other words, to lafil, to activate it, and we activate it through our prayer and our actions?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And or, you know, whatever we're doing at that time. Definitely. I mean, if you think about, that's a fascinating idea, because if you think about Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz, the very first sentence of the whole Torah, the Zohar teaches that it's not only the beginning, it's also the end. So the whole of the world in its fullest completion, in its fullest glory, in its total redemption is already there, ready, waiting for us. It's there, ready, waiting for us. It's only waiting for us to do our bit through for our prayer and our mitzvot to activate it, to bring into manifestation. But it's already there. So this is in small, you know, in every little tiny bit, but it's also in big. And all the little steps that we do through our prayer and our mitzvot are actually bringing more and more and more of what is already there in potential down into manifestation in reality. It's just waiting for us, because hu amar v'yehi, he said it and it was. It's finished. As far as God's concerned, it's finished. All we have to do is simply to be.
Oh, wait a minute. Is that it? We have to just
We have to do. What we have to do is to do it. We have to do the work. Sorry, I got confused for a moment. We actually have to do the work. We have to do the prayer and we have to do the mitzvot. But it's already there. That's what I really meant to say. It's there. It's being. It's already in being. We have to do the work, but it's already there in potential.
And that means that we are also created in potential of being in consonance.
I think that's absolutely true. Yes. Oh, yes. Our full nature, our full, true, beautiful, divine, complete nature, complete in all its great tzaddikus, in its great, as a tzaddik, all of us, is already present and finished, waiting for us to do the work to bring it through into actual practice. Absolutely. Rabbi Ashlag tells us this without any hesitation whatsoever.
Well, then the question is, if we have so much potential, then why do we so often blow it?
Because two reasons. First of all, God gave us a particular role to do, a particular job to do. And that is to transfer elements of creation from the framework of uncleanness to the framework of holiness. And in order to do that, we actually have to have within us the framework of uncleanness, which is called the ego. And because we're born with that nature of the ego, and that's actually what grows within us first. The soul is present at our birth, but only as a point source, and only develops its potential after the age of 13. So we're actually very less aware of our souls and very much more aware of our childhood natures of the ego, which tends to just get bigger and bigger and bigger if we don't curb it through Torah mitzvot. And so that tends to obscure things very much and cloud things and cause us to battle with ourselves the whole time. That's the first problem. And the second problem is, and it's related, of course, is because we're not in affinity of form with God, because we're not giving, we don't see God so clearly also. Only when we're giving unconditionally do we see. And God deliberately hides himself from us so that we do have free choice. And why is it important that God gives us free choice? I mean, when I first heard about this, I was quite happy. I said to God, you know what? I'm quite happy to give up free choice. I'll give up free choice and you make it a little easier. You know, just show me, you know, just be manifest a bit more. And I won't mind not having so much free choice. That's fine. that was my feeling. But the sages say that there's an issue of what's called Nahama de Kusufa, what's called in the English the bread of shame. And the idea is that if God was to make it easy and be manifest for us, it would be so easy that we would not really have any work to do. We would naturally choose God without even thinking twice about it. And ultimately, that wouldn't be for our benefit. Ultimately, we would feel embarrassed, feel shame. We wouldn't be co-creators in this sense. We would be receivers.
You have the paradox that if we are only receivers, then we can't be in consonance with our culture.
Exactly. So even if God was somehow to make it that we were receiving for the sake of giving, but nevertheless, we wouldn't be co-creators with him. And the ultimate joy of anybody is to take part and be part of something, to do it, to be part of something, to create something, to do something yourself. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure you've all had at different times the incredible experience of being part of a team and working together and bringing forth something which every single person on that team was an indispensable part. And you know that...
Play tomorrow.
Huh?
I'm in a play tomorrow.
Well, there you go. And it's a marvelous feeling, isn't it?
Not now. It will be after it's all
afterwards,
over.
Afterwards, yes, when it's all over. It'll be marvelous. But, you know, that work... I mean, what's the difference of feeling as being part of the play or being part of the audience? Being part of the play is you gain an exhilaration, a joy, a high that you're never going to get however much you enjoy the play as an audience. It's true.
Because you're giving, because when you're in the play, you're actually having to give.
You're having to give. You're having to give of yourself in an incredible way. Yeah. And that's a very beautiful example. I mean, and so God wants us to be co-creators, because as co-creators, we have a much higher pleasure than we would have if we were just receivers in the audience. Okay? That's a lovely example. Great. Thank you. Mia, anything to add?
No, it always comes down to that delicate balance, which I suppose continues to change, between whether we're doing something because it's feeding our ego, or whether we're doing something to give. I'm not sure we ever get that completely sorted out.
I tell you the honest truth, it's very hard to be sure. It's terribly, terribly, terribly hard to be sure. And in fact, all you can really do, and that's another place of prayer, another is always just pray to God and say to God, God, I'm doing my best here, but I really don't know what my motive is here. Please help me clarify it. And over time, generally speaking, it does begin to clarify. I mean, I remember very clearly when we first put out In the Shadow of the Ladder, I remember speaking to David Baruch and telling him, I really don't know what my intention right here is at the moment. Is it for myself, or is it for Mark, or is it for, what is it? I have no idea. I really can't figure this out. And gradually, 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 and it took many years of producing these books, I really have come to feel that it is a work of giving. But it took me a long, long, long time to come to that, and to let go of, you know, any fame or anything I might get, or any other recompense or whatever from the books, and to really come to a place that, yes, it's nice if people recognize who I am and want to connect with me, and thank you, and it's lovely when people say thank you when they get, you know, get a positive feedback from the book. That makes my day. But I'm not doing it for that.
Right.
And it took me a long time to be able to sort it out. So I think all we can do really is just to be aware that we're not very clear, and to acknowledge that.
Well, I'm going to use an image that may not seem completely appropriate, but, you know, most of us are not necessarily thinking about conceiving a child when we are in the act where that happens. We have other motivations, whatever they may be. And so I'm just going to call that our ego, you know, because there's the physical aspect and there's the emotional aspect. And so there, it's almost as though we have to have some ego to jumpstart anything we create.
That's actually true, Mia. And Rabbi Ashlag talks about that, and so does the Ramchal, interestingly enough. I mean, there's a fascinating discussion that he brings about why we don't eat matzah. We only eat matzah on Pesach, and we don't eat matzah for the whole year round. And he says, matzah, the difference between matzah and bread is that bread rises because it's puffed up with the ego, with the chometz in it, the leaven. And the leaven is the ego, the Yetzer Hara. So he said, well, if that's the case, why don't we just eat matzah the whole year round? And that would be perfect. And you know, just not have this. And he said, no. He said, it's not fitting for people. The world would not be able to move forwards if we did not have that Yetzer Hara. The whole purpose of the world, the whole purpose of man in the world is to have the Yetzer Hara, is to have that ego. So he's able to jumpstart, like you say, and then move things from the framework of uncleanness to the framework of holiness. But he can't do it unless he's got the uncleanness first. You know, we look back on our lives and we wish we hadn't done certain things and we have regrets, but the truth is that we wouldn't have come to a better place if we hadn't have messed up first. So we have to, there is a place where that ego has to play its part in order for us to say, no, that's not what we want, and then to move it to the framework of cleanness. But it has to be there. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, why don't we eat matzah all the year round? Because it's not suitable. We need to actually eat the bread, have the Yetzer Hara present, and have that ego present in order for us to function in the world.
It's kind of mind-boggling, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's a total paradox. Uh-huh. And it's a hard paradox that we live in. And Rabbi Ashlag writes many times in his Sefer Ma'amarim that we do not know, we cannot appreciate just how valuable every single action in spirituality really is. Because we do not appreciate how hard it is.
Right.
Good. Okay. Next paragraph. Amy, do you have, just before we go on, Amy, anything more further to add? It was lovely what you said about prayer. Thank you.
I was thinking we don't eat matzah all year round because we love our intestines.
Well, that's part of it. It's how we're built.
it wouldn't be special. If we ate it all year round, it would lose its specialness and it would lose its bread of affliction quality. It would just be, you know, an everyday thing to do. That's why it's so special, and that's why it's a reminder. I mean, if we were eating it every day, there would be no reminder there that we're celebrating Passover for a reason. That we're fasting for Passover for a reason.
Okay, yes, that's true. Yeah.
I also find it interesting, if you go to some of the synagogues here in Tzfat, you'll see a box on the wall with a matzah in it.
I don't know what that's about.
It's in the Ari synagogue, the Ari Ashkenazi synagogue. There's a box on the wall with a matzah in it, and it has to do with making the entire city of Tzfat a holy city where people can carry on Shabbat. Makes the entire city an Eru, right?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't understand about Eruvs, so I can't tell you. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, all right. But anyway, so
These are sort of like off the point ideas. So what I really wanted to ask you is, was there anything further you wanted to say about what we were saying about man as co-creator?
I was looking at the term prayer and then the word supplication. I didn't know what that meant exactly, and that meant to ask. So what you're saying is that that we needed to have Adam ask.
Yes, that's right. And that's called in the Kabbalah raising the lack upwards. Okay. There's a special term for that. It's called mind nukvin. Right. Let's move on. Tikvat emet shua bitachon shel emet shepotchim b'hashkacha v'kol shar bitachonot b'shtadlut haim bitachonot shel sheker u'bitachon b'Hashem u'bitachon emet shneema v'yadata ki ani Hashem asher lo yevoshu kovai. ולא איש אל ויחזב. ואם יתממע, חכה לו. ואם אינו בעולם הזה, הוא לעולם הבא. תקוות עניים תובד לעד, זה אי אפשר. וזה לישועתך כבית ישם. לזה השם הוויה שהוא ראשית הכל. צריך שתהיה תקווה, ולא לשום כינוי. וכל המקווה את תפילתו עולה בשם אמצעי, לא על ידי מלאך, אלא לישועתך דייקה, כמו שמדבר לנוכח, לא על ידי שליח, כי הוא קו הבוקע ונוקה ועולה עד השם ממש. It's very beautiful. I think somebody sent me a message. No, okay. Right. The true hope, right, Tikvat Emet, what is true hope? Is the true trust, that we trust in the divine providence, the Hashgacha Pratit. Any other trusts that we put in when we're trying to gain something are trusts of falsehood. Trust in God is the true security. As it says, and you should know that I am the Lord, and those who have hope in me will not be ashamed. In Isaiah. And in Numbers it says, God is not a man, and he will not disappoint. And furthermore, if he tarries, wait for him. In other words, if you haven't yet seen your answer, wait. And if this answer is not in this world, it is in the world to come. And what the phrase of Psalm says, that the hope of the poor is lost forever, is impossible. Because for your salvation, I have hope, O Lord. For the name Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh is the first of all. And it should be the hope and not any other name. And one who has hope, his prayer goes up without an intermediary, not through the angel, only for your salvation specifically. Just like one who's speaking to somebody present, not through any messenger, but it is the kav, the line, which bursts forth and pierces and goes up right to God completely. So here we have an echo in this paragraph of the piece that we learned in the Zohar that couple of weeks ago, all right, where he talks about what is the true Yirat Hashem and what is the false Yirat Hashem. Do you remember? We talked about the true Yirat Hashem, the true fear of being of reverence for God, is that I don't want to be separated from him. And the false Yirat Hashem is because I don't, is if I have fear of God because I don't want to be punished in this world or in the next world in any way. Okay, and that's false. So you've got here the juxtaposition of the true bitachon, the true faith in God, the true hope, the true trust, and the false trust if you put your trust in other things. Okay, and he says the name of God that we have trust in, that we use for this, is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, which is the name of compassion. And we await your salvation, O Lord. And he says, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the name Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh is the beginning of everything. And it needs that we have hope. And it is not any other name. For one who has hope, his prayer goes up. Remember we talked about the prayer as being the lack which goes up, okay? And it goes up without any intermediary, not through an angel, only for your salvation we await, for God's salvation himself, as if we're speaking to somebody present, not through any messenger, but it is the kav which bursts forth and penetrates and goes up, right up to God, completely.
What does kav mean?
Well, kav is a very good question. Kav actually is a line, but it also here, I think, is the word which is the line of the channel of light, okay, which goes from the Ein Sof all the way down to the souls, wherever we are. Okay, when the symptom happened, when the light withdrew in order to make a space, then the light of the, what was left, is the Adam Kadmon, the first world, forms the innermost aspect of this channel, okay? This channel of light. And on this channel of light, all the other worlds encircle, basically. They enclose this channel of light, okay? If you can imagine, you know, in the main bolt in the door, which locks everything, okay, it goes right through the center of the door. It's like that in a way. It's called the Rav Bariach. It's called the Bariach, the main lock. And that's what it is. It's the main channel of light. Okay? And you can see that this main channel of light, the word Kav, appears not only in, as meaning a line, but also as part of the word for hope. Wow, it's so hot here. Oh, heavens. Whose is that? Okay. In fact, it goes on to say precisely that. Hakivoi, husod hahit pashtut, kava mishpat, masha enken ha'igul, hu devas satum mikos tzad. Vzeli shuot hakiviti, lasot kavim. Hashem, bizman shiyeh Hashem shalem. Okay, the kivoy, the line, is the inner meaning of the emanation of light. It's just what we said. And he says it's also the light of judgment. In other words, of, it's not judgment exactly, I would say rule, the light of rule, according to the rule, okay? In other words, what's the rule? The rule is that if we just receive according to our desire for receiving, we're not going to receive any light. If we receive according to our desire to give, then we'll receive light. So it goes according to that rule. The line is not like the igul, like a circle, which is something closed from every side. Okay. But for your salvation, I have hope. In other words, it makes lines. It makes the connection. It makes this channel, this flowing channel between us and God. And Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, which is the name of God, is the when the name of God is complete. So what does that mean? The name of God is complete. Well, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but in the Sfardi Siddur, before... we do any action, they very often have an intention. And in the intention, they say to unite the letters of the name of God. Liached et Hashem, to unite God's name. All right, and what are they talking about? Well, you have Yud, He, and Vav. And the Yud is for the Sfira of Chochmah. The first hey is for the Sfira of Bina, the Vav is for Tiferet, and the last hey is for the Malchut. Now, Yud, Hey, Vav are always in affinity of form with God, okay? There's no problem with those. But the Malchut has that will to receive, okay? And it can either be in affinity of form with God or not in affinity of form with God, in which case it's separated from the other letters of God's name. So when we're talking about the unification of God's name, we're talking about bringing the Malchut back into line with the other letters, bringing it back from receiving to giving. Okay? And that's the idea of the unification of God's name. So he says the Kivoy is the inner meaning of emanation. It's the line of rule. It goes according to the rule, okay? Lishuatra Kiviti, through our hope, through our faith, we create channels. And the Yod Hei Vav Hei, the light, the channel is open with the name of God when that name is complete. In other words, when we, as part of the Malchut, are giving and not receiving. Okay, I'm running out of puff here. It is so hot. Anybody got any questions?
Did I hear you just say that through our faith, we make channels for hope?
Sorry?
Through our faith in God, we make channels for hope to
yes.
come to us?
Yeah, yes, we definitely okay. do. We make channels which connect us between us and God, yes. I think I would like to stop at this point. We've got 5 minutes to go in theory, but like I say, I'm running out of puff. And I don't want to start a new subject, which is in fact what the next paragraph is about. Okay. So I think if you don't mind, we'll stop 5 minutes early today, unless anybody's got anything to add or to comment.
Go turn on a fan and stand in front of it.
Well, I've got one on, but I think I need to go. I mean, I'm going to go and drink more water and
yeah, you know,
yeah, talking for an hour. I'm definitely yeah. puffed.
All right, well, take care of yourself.
All right, my sweethearts.
All right, thank you.
All right, my loves. Okay, take care. And
all righty.
Yeah, and I'll put the recordings up on the internet, Bezrat Hashem. Okay, all right. Bye, loves.
Yudita?
Yes.
Yudita?
Yes, Amy, yes.
Yes, what did you think of your meeting with Alon?
I think it was good. Very nice. I was very positively impressed. And yes, and I think, you know, I think there's definitely a place we could work together. But I think there's a few things we need to discuss. And I'm yeah. waiting for him to call me.
Oh, okay. Is that the way you left it? You wait for him? You told
yeah,
him you're...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He basically said that he's not in an emergency hurry because he actually thinking in much more long-term view than just me doing something whilst he's away. So I'm quite happy to wait for him. I'm glad we made the connection. He's got the book. He's got an idea of what we could do. I think there's other things that we could do as well, or there's alternatives as well that I'd like to, you know, discuss with him. And I think there's, you know, there's a lot of positive. I liked the meeting with him yesterday. I was very grateful to you that you gave me that opportunity. Thank you.
Plus, you got to see him in class and see his little
yes.
style. Little
yeah, yeah, style. Yeah. It was very good. He's very relaxed. I mean, you know, he doesn't. I tend to give, you know, a more dense class, more packed class. He gives less, so.
Practical.
Yes, he's more practical. Yes, yes, yes. More, but, you know, it's a different style.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, I hope it all works out, and I'm so grateful. I'm glad that I could run into you on the street and drag you over there.
It was wonderful. Thank you very much. It was lovely meeting his wife as well.
Yes, and I hope it all works out.
I hope so, too. Yes, I hope so, too. I really think it's very positive. And but I think, you know, I've got to give him his space and let him, you know, read the book and really feel if it's right for him. I think that's important, too.
Yeah, because I couldn't understand what you guys were saying when you were speaking in Hebrew, so I was just, you know, I have no idea.
Oh, right. I had no idea. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I wanted to make it comfortable for him. You know, he is Israeli to start off with. I mean, his English is perfect, but...
But he was more comfortable with you in Hebrew.
I don't know. I mean, his English is, like, incredible. He's a very, very, very intelligent person.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, yes.
And to me, he's very sweet and warm. and sincere and honest, and his intentions, I think, are good.
I really felt that. I really, really felt that. That came over very clearly to me yesterday.
Yeah. Well, good, good. I'm so glad that it's coming together in such a positive way.
I think so. I felt very positive after the meeting yesterday. But again, you know, we would need to maybe have a sit down meeting together and discuss, you know, details or whatever. You know, it needs more work, but it's you know, I feel it's right to wait for him. You know, I checked with him. He's got my phone number. He's got my email. And I said to him, I'm waiting for you to contact me.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
A question I guess I might have is, could you do podcasts from your home?
I do podcasts from my home, yes. I do it all the time.
Okay. Well, then you won't have to come into town. But then you won't have the... He likes having the audience there.
Yeah, I understand that's what he wants. And I prefer to have the audience because I prefer to have questions and discussion rather than just, you know, I can't talk for a whole hour, you know, to a blank screen. I mean, I can do a podcast of 10 minutes to a blank screen. I can't do an hour. It's too much.
Yeah.
I need the feedback of people. I can't talk in a vacuum.
Yeah.
In any case, the level at which I teach changes according to who's present.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I've got people present who I know are understanding me, then the level goes up. If I've got people present who I can see are not understanding me, then the level goes down. It's according to who's there, and it's not necessarily a conscious thing. But I notice that whenever I teach, it comes out differently every time, according to who's present.
Yeah, but like he was saying, you know, when you're teaching to online, you don't know who's out there. You know who's in the room, but you don't know who's
You don't know who's out there, that's true. But still, you know, my ability to express myself changes according to who's present.
Yeah. All right, dear. Well,
okay, thanks. Hopefully I should see you tomorrow. You've got the party, haven't you?
Yeah, are you able to come to Mystic Mountain in the evening?
I hope so, yes. I'm not promising because I'll be after the chiropractor, but I'm going to try.
Okay, and if you can't, then Sunday it'll be for women.
Yeah, I know that, but Sunday I definitely probably won't be able to come because Sunday I really am actually in the chiropractors or whatever it is. I'm coming back. It's earlier on Sunday, isn't it?
It's 6 to 8.
I know. Oh, I see. So I might be able to be late at the women's if I get stuck tomorrow.
Okay.
It depends what time I get back. Hopefully I can manage it.
You know.
Thank you.
You can manage it. That's fantastic.
I thank you, love.
All right.
Mazel tov for your birthday, anyhow.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'll see you soon, I hope.
See you, my love.
Bye-bye.
And bye.